Welcome to the Fabulous Business Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you, one of our executive directors and an incredible speaker, Mr. Barney Kramer. Barney, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. It's a pleasure to be on your show. And I have to tell you that when I added my title as executive director to the LinkedIn and a couple of the other social media sites, I got a lot of activity out of that. Lots of congratulations for my new job. And of course, then I had to go back and explain to them it's just one of many that I have. But, so it's a delight to be working with you. I love being with a group of professionals, and I love the exchange of ideas that we have, so many different directions that we come at what we do, and so many different skills and talents that we bring to the show. And I think what I enjoy probably most about it is the fact that you've made me feel so comfortable. And I've been in business a long time, but this was a new venture for me completely a couple of years ago. And so I think I'm delighted to be a part of your group. Today, what we're going to talk about is what I like, is one of my favorite topics, and it's also one of the most frustrating topics. And the title of my talk today is going to be Accelerating Your Career and Success with This One Skill. And that one skill is exactly what I'm talking about. It's communications, and I don't think there's anything greater than communications to really build a career upon. And yet it's one of the things that is the most challenging and the most difficult for most of us to excel at. And it's also one of the things that the volume of different kinds of instruments and devices, et cetera, that we have now is just completely through the roof. And yet, in spite of that, what's really happening is that our communication skills, pure communications, is really becoming worse and worse as time goes by. And we've really cranked up the speed, but that doesn't help us communicate. So I'd like to go through with everybody today and talk about what my perspectives on communications are and talk about what I see as the biggest problem, and then how this has to, how we can improve our skills and how doing so can really make us far more productive and successful and more than you can imagine it would be. So, you know, I think it's the single most important skill a leader can have, because quite frankly, a leader develops a strategy and a vision for their company or their business or organization, and both internally and externally, their ability to communicate that vision to their employees, their staff, their vendors, everybody that they interact with internally and externally is just absolutely essential. It's how we get everybody on the same page. And if we don't get on the same page, then you can imagine a company with 10, 20, 30, 50, I don't care, pick your number on it, all moving in different directions because the directions for them weren't really clear. What they thought they heard wasn't what they actually heard, or they just simply didn't understand it. So, statistically, the research tells us that the companies that have good communications out there can actually be more than 40% more productive than those that don't have communications. And I think for most of us, if we've been around any time at all, we can go and look back at some real calamities or near calamities in organizations who we work with, or clients or prospects, in which that inability or to really truly connect with one another, which is what communications is all about. It's about some form of, whether it's visual, whether it's speaking, writing, pictures, music, I don't care what it is. It's about exchanging an idea or information or knowledge with another person or persons or companies, in order to be able to get on that same page. So it becomes a lot more essential than we think about. And, I'm going to start with a story, quite frankly, and I'm going to do what I don't really like to do as a speaker, but I'm going to read you the story, and it's a pretty short story because I want to make sure that I don't lose anything or misconnect with you in the process. And I think it's a beautiful example of poor communications. And so the story goes like this. There's a PGA golfer that walks into the locker room one day after he's finished with a round of golf. And this happens to be a true story whose participants have been lost to memory. But frankly, what happens after a beautiful day on the golf course, the golfers were unwinding and in the locker room when suddenly a cell phone rings. And the golfer picks it up and he says, "Yeah, I can talk." And as he answers the phone, he says, "You're shopping, are you? That's nice." And about that time, everybody around them, their ears kind of perked up because it was a fairly loud conversation. And, he responds and he says, "You want to order those new carpets? Okay. And they'll include the curtains for an extra $5,000? Sure, why not?" A few listeners smile. And the next comment is, "You want to book the weekend on the island? How much? $22,000 for the one with the private lanai." Now, this was a golfer that was doing well. Not everybody out there makes that kind of money. He says, "Well, that sounds like a deal. If that's what you want, it's okay by me." And so, of course, there's a few smiles around the locker room that turn into expressions of envy, because not everybody's able to do that, especially some of the younger players that are still scrambling out there. And so the next comment that he makes on the phone to whoever he's talking to is that go ahead if you want to spend the $75,000 for the new conservatory. If we sign it today, he says, "That sounds like a fair deal. So go ahead and sign the contract." And about that time, there's some real exchanges of amazement. That's a lot of money, even for somebody that's doing well in life. And so the next comment that he makes is, he says, "Okay, sugar, see you later. Yes, love you too." As he ends the call, he looks around the locker room and says, "By the way, whose phone is this?" And you can just imagine the communications that they have that evening at home are going to be very different from the one he just had with whoever it was he was talking to on that phone. You're going to have a very irate and surprise wife and a very irate and surprised husband. And that's a really, really good example of a real life scenario when you had two people that were completely on a different page. And of course, the message from that story is, if you're going to be an engaged listener, which is one of the real impediments to having successful communications, then you're going to have to make sure you're in the right conversation to begin with. And I don't know how many times I've picked up the phone, and I'll never forget doing it as a youngster one time, picking up the phone thinking I was calling my friend's mother. Had a wonderful conversation. How in the world, with a name like he had, I could have gotten a wrong number? But I'm sure his mom was really surprised when he got home. And it wasn't until later that I heard about the conversation from him. I said, "I don't know, they had a great conversation. I would have bet anything it was your mom that I was talking to." So it is the form that we use to communicate the vision and the strategies of our company. And that's what we're really talking about today. How do I apply this in my speaking career, in my business career, to understand that doing it effectively and being a good communicator or a bad communicator both have consequences. And if you're a poor communicator, you're really going to have some problems with it. And of course, the truism is that all great leaders are great communicators. And just a few examples of that might be somebody like Mark Zuckerberg. Most of us, if not all of us, know the story of Facebook and how he originally started that company for no good reason other than just to be able to communicate with some of his buddies in college. And yet it's now one of the largest companies in the entire world and worth billions, and he's worth billions and billions of dollars. And it was just mostly about, how do I connect some friends so we could talk to one another? So, and I think that's one of the great stories of what good communications can be all about. And another one that comes to mind off the top of my head is Oprah. And of course, she's a fabulously wealthy media mogul. She's the ultimate communicator, and she does it in all kinds of ways, through live programs, television shows, magazines, seminars, webcasts, and you name it. And not every one of us is going to rise to the level of these great communicators, but we certainly need to learn to be good at communications, particularly in the endeavors that we're in. If I'm not doing a good job in this particular presentation, at the end of it, you're going to think, gee, that was interesting, but it was about as confusing as it can be. So I have to start with where I want to go and then be able to go through the process and then hope that you understood it. And of course, as we're doing this without, face to face, it's always probably an easier way to do these things. But this is the medium we're choosing for today's presentation. So this is what we're going to do. And Lincoln, I think, is the very last, is one of them that stands out maybe above all else. And any of us that have gone through schools here in the U.S. certainly remember the Gettysburg Address, and it was a less than 2-minute speech. I forgot the number of the word content in it, but it's remembered by certainly my generation, I think all the generations before and after. And yeah, what's interesting about it is that his predecessor that day was considered to be one of the great orators of his time, and he gave a 2-hour speech. And most people, unless they've done a little research on him, don't even know that he was the second up after a 2-hour speech and gave 2 minutes of talk, and nobody even knows. Generally speaking, they don't even know who the first orator was. So. And yet that still stands as one of the great speeches of all times. And so if we're going to communicate effectively, one of the things we have to do is to recognize that there are tons of obstacles to efficient communication. And we'll look at just a few of them today and see what they're all about and see what we can glean from them. And starting with the communicator themselves, the person that's initiating the conversation, what you find is there are some of those obstacles are things that we all experience in life, and that can be fear. Fear that I'm not going to be able to efficiently communicate what I want to communicate. And I know from my own experience that there's no matter how many times you've spoken to a group, there's generally a little bit of apprehension. Gee, am I going to get this right? Are the audience going to accept me? And we've all probably been in events where it was hard to ring the bell with some of the people in there, and you kind of wonder why I'm even here and what I'm doing. So that's not something that necessarily goes away, and I've heard a lot of people suggest, and I think it's true, that if you don't have a little bit of that apprehension, you're probably not ready to get up and say something, because it's what helps us become alert and sharp. And one of the next obstacles is a message that's not really thought out well. Most of us have lots and lots and lots of information by certainly when you get to the point in life that I am. I've been around for a while. And one of the bigger challenges is to condense that knowledge and that information down to the right bite sizes so that I'm not dictating a dictionary or book. And of course, the timing of the message. Sometimes a message that conveys bad news, or as the day comes to end and everybody's tired, if you're a leader and you gather the troops around and you present something that's not very nice to hear about, how you're going to have to lay some people off can be devastating. And you know, the brain begins to close and it begins to shut down when we get the wrong kinds of things going on. And sometimes the message is too verbose. Most of us know that 15, 20, 25, certainly no more than about a half hour of any kind of a presentation or a webinar or a seminar or live speech is probably about all that most people can digest and hang on to in today's, the instant world that we live in. Instant gratification, instant knowledge, instant wisdom. Let me touch this thing and by osmosis absorb years and years of trial and error. And so the expectation is that I want a lot, I want it quick, I want it clean, I want it simple. And that's probably about 80% of the audience out there. There's another 10, 12, 15% of the audience that can't get enough information. But generally speaking, we all have to address the majority instead of the minority. And some of it's a lack of empathy. If I'm going to talk to a group of people, I have to be able to understand to some extent where they're at in the particular issues and messages that I'm going to deliver. And then we look at this and we look at the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin are the recipients of the messages, and they can have some of those same fears and obstacles that I'm talking about, a fear that the message is going to for example, harm them in some particular way. I'll want you guys all to meet in my office just before lunchtime. And, you know, there's a habit that we get into as human beings, whereas we don't know, we tend to fill the negatives into something. And so, especially if you know you're struggling in your department or something, or it's the spouse that generally doesn't talk until you've been home for a while, and all of a sudden she greets you at the front door and says, "We need to talk," and you're going, depending upon your own behavior, sometimes it can be really ugly, but you just don't know. So sometimes it's about a lack of attention. If I'm going to expect somebody to learn anything from what I have to say, then I have to make sure that they're paying attention. Some people just flat out have poor listening skills. Some people can't listen to something while they're engaged in things. So just because the communication fails doesn't mean there's malice in it. But I can tell you what is important to know, and that's to understand that it starts out, while it's a joint responsibility, it really does start out with a person who's going to be presenting the communication to say, "I need to learn how to address these people. If people don't understand me, then it really is incumbent upon me to understand, to be able to present that message, reform or reshape that message in such a way that it is understood." And this can be, of course, internally, and it can be externally. Circumstances can be it's just no small wonder that in today's world, communications can be such a challenge. I know when I sit at my office, I've got the telephone going off and the cell phone, I got something happening on the computer, and of course, it's not uncommon for some external somebody just has to absolutely talk to me, or a device in the house that the cuckoo clock, and one of these days I'm going to shoot my cuckoo clocks. It occasionally goes off right in the middle of something that I have to say, or the second line on my phone that I didn't unplug or didn't block out before I began to talk, or it's a fire engine going by the office. And I have a good friend, and Tanya certainly will know who it is, that it seems like every time he gets on the phone, the fire truck takes off. And, that's life in the city is what it's about. So, and there are some other general issues that will impact us, and that's which I'm talking about a little bit already, and that's distractions of almost any kind. Sometimes I've got so much going on that I just simply can't stay focused to the conversation. Sometimes it's stress that's going on in my life. In fact, in one of the challenging times in my life, I had to just tell people that there's nothing positive that'll come out of this conversation. I would shut the conversation off at a certain point. I knew what my breaking point was. Much better to do that and say, "Let's talk about it later," than it was for me to proceed and pretend that I could be focused and paying enough attention. Some people are naturally poor listeners, and poor listening can come from a lot of reasons. Bad habits, and one of the worst habits that people can have is trying to decide what their response is going to be to what's being said, rather than listening to what's really being said. I can tell you personally, one of my bad habits is that I'm quick enough that I've lived a long time, and I think I know what's going to be said, even if I don't know what's going to be said. And I've often got can't wait for it to be said, or I'll finish a statement for people sometimes. And that's when I'm in my bad communication modes. And, emotions play a part in that. Attitudes play a big part in that. Who am I having to listen to? Who's this conversation with? How many times have we gone through these processes? And so there are just a lot more challenges to really have an effective communication or connection where I say what I intend to say, I meant what I intended to say, and you heard what I intended to say, and you heard it the same way that I did, and we're able to say, okay, now we take action, whatever it is. And so, there's some three biggest and most powerful keys to communications are repetition, consistency, and transparency. And I always like to use the story about Expedia CEO, Kosrasai, it's not relevant to the story, but he makes a ton of money in the advertising. We've kind of shifted to not just the spoken thing, but it's the written thing too. They continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. That's what advertising is all about. And so if you're going to be, you know, we talk about you tell your story and then you tell your story and you tell your story again. And if you're in the world of sales and selling products or services, the more people hear it, they begin to hear it again and again and again. When you're working in an office, for example, and talking about clear communications, you have to be able, you have to be clear about what you want to accomplish, why it's important, and how you'll accomplish it. And so it's not just about how we do it, it's about the content of what we say, consistency in it. The tone is critical. Just to give you a quick example of where tone comes into the device, a number of years ago, before I understood the texting protocol, I came in to the office and I was really excited about the day and everything was great. So I put out this one sentence and sentence of what I thought was encouragement in capital letters. And everybody stayed away from me. And all of a sudden, finally, early afternoon, one of the employees that had more courage than the others said, came to me and wanted to know why I was mad. I said, "Matt, I'm not mad at anything." "Well, why are you shouting at?" I said, "Not shouting, it's anything." Of course, that's when I learned that capital letters don't mean what I think, but they meant. And so in the best of intentions, that communication went completely sideways. The whole office changed, and we all had a good laugh over it. But you know, do that with a customer the first time, and the next thing you know, and in fact, I've had somebody I work with that did that on an email message not too long ago. I wasn't a happy camper about it, and I let them know what I thought. You don't need to start a conversation about something you're asking about by effectively yelling at me. So, you know, and that's something that we never even contemplated 20 or 25 years ago. So, and transparency, particularly inside of a business, the more open we can be and the more people will do a lot of things and follow a lot of follow you, the best of leaders will go a long ways for. And I always look at this in terms of leadership, but that's not the only way that it becomes important. So, but when they know where they're going and why they're going there and what the results are going to be and how it's going to have an impact on them, and that comes right into personal life too. You know, I would like to do this and here's why I want to do this and what do you think about it? And we begin to have a dialogue instead of shouting orders and stuff at each other, you know, and that's a big role in it. So, you know, I'd like for you to really give some thought about this. And of course, then the last of the obstacles we've talked about already, and that's, we've just got so much information coming at us from so many different ways and so many different devices that we begin to, there's times when I think, my God, how can I do this? And I've had to set up with people, I've had to learn how to organize my email inbox so I don't look at every single thing that comes through here. Sometimes you can delegate that out in different ways. In fact, that's what smart leadership does, is they basically farm it out to people that can segregate some of that and separate it to begin with. You know, and the other part of communications is to really stop and think about, do I need to have a whole paragraph about this concept, or is it something with three and four syllable words, or can I say it or write it or spell it out in just a few words? I love Hemingway's style of writing, and in my own business life and personal life, I do that as much as possible. I try to cut right to the chase. After hooking a fish at sea and having that fish drag him, for anybody, any of you that have read The Old Man and the Sea, drag him all day long and into the evening, his hands all cut up and bloodied from the fishing line that he had, because he didn't have a nice fancy pole like they have on the, what's that, Wicked Tuna show, I think it is. The comment was, in his own mind, the fish was big, and there was nothing more that needed to be said about it. You know, Caesar's explained his entire career by one, I came, I saw, and I conquered. Vini, Vidi, Vicky, I think is the proper words for it. So you can imagine a company that you walk in and that day the object is to go west and you go east on it. And that sounds like a simple analogy, but the result of poor communications and the result of has a cost, and the result of great communications has a reward to it again. And that number of 40% more productivity for someone who learns to be a good communicator and helps the organization or the people that he's around, he or she's around, become good communicators is immensely powerful. In fact, I don't think there's a greater return on skill sets in your business career and in your personal life than learning how to become an effective communicator and be good at communications. And you can just look through your own personal experiences of life and see if that doesn't fit. And of course, it does apply to every single area of your life. So, and you know, one of the things as we come to the end of the trail here for today, one of the things I'd like to talk about or offer you rather is an opportunity to be able to learn a little bit more about this. And you know, my open invitation to you is to connect with me however you can at Barney@smra1.com or at my website, smra1.com. And a third option is to jump onto a quiz that I've developed to allow you to find out, amongst other things, there's a number of skill sets that it tests in about 5 minutes. And that is at www.smaleadershipquiz.com. And either way you decide, the end result of that is that I would love to have a dialogue and a conversation with you, with any of you that are interested in learning more about communications. And it is a part of a course that I teach called the New Leadership Paradigm, and which is based on a half a dozen fundamentals that you have to be, I believe, efficient and effective in business. And so I offer anybody that contacts me in any one of those three ways a 30-minute strategy session to help you to see whether there's anything more you can learn or want to learn or interested in learning. Or if you just want to call and argue with me about what I've said, I'm okay with that too. So my wife says I'm really good at arguing. So I wish all of you the best. And Tanya, I want to thank you again for allowing me to be on the show. I just love being a part of your organization. Have a good day. Thank you.